Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's talk to John Smoltz, Hall of Famer, Fox analyst. Smoltzy, thanks for the time. We know you've been crazy busy. Let's start with the base running blunders last night. Mike and I have pointed that out. I thought that killed us last night, and who knows where this thing goes, but, you know, in that moment, I don't know what Dansby was thinking, Riley, but that was one of the moments that we'll be talking about for a very long time.
Yeah, Game 7s have all kinds of strange things, usually the unsung hero, sometimes the play that you just normally wouldn't even think about doing in the regular season. There's no doubt that the two plays that turned the series around for the Dodgers was the Mookie Betts catch, and, you know, unfortunately, Ozuna couldn't get a good read and didn't, when we showed the shot that he was looking through, probably thought that that was going to be an in-between bounce and he was going to try and score. So having said that, turned that game around. Instead of 3-0, it's 2-0. Dodgers go on to win. There's a lot to be said for what a score can mean at what point in the game, and those runs were so huge. And when you're, they could play the series 10 times and the Dodgers are going to have the advantage. It doesn't mean the Braves can't win. They played a series that they could win if they executed some simple things, and they just didn't. And the relentless Dodgers have what it takes to sustain that. And when you think about bases loaded, nobody out, and you don't even make contact, those are the things that come back that you say, oh, we'll overcome it, but you don't know if you can. And it's too bad because, you know, the formula for the Braves, my job's to be realistic and look back and see where's the strength of a club, what do they have to do to win. And the Braves did everything they had to do with the exception of that fourth win. You think about the two-game series sweep they won. That was a tough fought. Could have lost that series to Cincinnati easy, but credit the pitching. They swept the Marlins, so they kept their three pitchers intact.
Right.
And they were up 3-1 against the Dodgers. And unfortunately, you know, a little bit of depth and a little less execution is what the difference was.
You said it. As Hall of Famer John Smoltz joins us, we said we had the juice for a best of three, best of five, but 7 days in a row is just a different animal. I mean, how impressed are you by the Dodger staff, or are you not that impressed? Because a lot of these guys are just throwing fastballs, but did they make adjustments on the Braves, or the Braves just got cold?
Well, what happens with the team that has a roster that's deeper is they can afford to make some mistakes and overcome it. And the Dodgers offense, which I'm telling you, I've never seen an offense do what they do. That is, they get better the more they see you. And they make in-game adjustments. They're just good at not expanding the zone. And when the raw strikeout totals came in going into Game 7, both teams had struck out 60 times. But I would argue that the strikeouts the Braves had were at more crucial times.
Right.
And so, you know, what the Dodgers have been able to do over the course of, let's say, 60 games, they would do it over 162. They just get into your pen. The more they see you, the more they adjust, and they just had better at-bats. Nine-pitch at-bats, well, a huge walk at a time where you think, no big deal, two-out walk, next thing you know, three-run homer. Those kind of things paid off for them, where the Braves just weren't able to put the ball in play at crucial times. I'm talking where it takes you from a small winner to a high percentage winner, and that's the beauty of our sport, is if you don't put the ball in play, you're going to really run the risk of being so good in your pitching staff and so dominant that it hides all those other mistakes.
John Smoltz, our guest, guys. Smoltzy, when you talk about, you know, this Braves team, offense is one of the reasons why we got here. I mean, we were right behind the Dodgers statistically, but then it failed us in these last three nights. I mean, you know, we scored 7 total runs compared to their 14. And then you talked about it, runners in scoring position, 4 for 25 in the final three games. So it's not as if we didn't have opportunities. They didn't shut us down. We just didn't execute. So how do you fix that? Now you're moving forward. Is this just one of those series? How do you, you've been there. How do you look back at it and how do you get better from it?
Well, the biggest thing that I would take from this is a lot of people grew up in this time that was a unique and different time. The young pitchers grew up big time. They're going to be so much better for this. This is going to bode, you know, you think about 1991, we grew up. Nobody knew what we were going to do. Nobody knew how we were going to do in the postseason. And then it turned into an incredible long run. Offensively, there are going to be some guys that have to go to the next level, and they got to make some adjustments. If not, then, you know, you're going to have some exposed weaknesses. Look, the Rays got to the postseason in a fashion that is not prototypical. Ton of strikeouts, low batting average, nothing with runners in scoring position. But the difference for them is they hit home runs, and their bullpen was unreal. They just shut down. They won every close game. I think they're 73-0 in the last year and a half when they have the lead from the seventh inning on. That's unbelievable.
Wow.
But that's an outlier to what typically wins championships. I've been saying since 2004, there hasn't been a team that has won a championship in the top 10 in strikeouts. I think it's 10 for sure. I think the 2004 Red Sox were the last team. They finished fourth in strikeouts, and they won that crazy World Series.
Right.
The Rays are number one. They could buck the trend, but the Dodgers, I think, are 29th or 27th. And, of course, the Braves were in the top, I think they were in the top five in strikeouts. So it's the old adage that strikeouts really don't matter. That's the verbiage you hear. But at the end of the day, when you get to a postseason run, they matter. And it's when they happen. You know, if you're leading off a game, I guess it doesn't matter. But if you got bases loaded or second and third, so those are the kind of things you look back and you learn from. And I think every young player that's on that team grew and learned something, whether it's they were too anxious, they tried to hit the ball 600 feet every time they got to the plate. And you could see some signs of that. And when you're facing 100 miles an hour and you're facing 96, that's a difficult task if you're trying to hit it 600 feet.
It's John Smoltz with us, guys, breaking down the NLCS. And he'll have the call, of course, with Fox for the World Series. We were talking about this during the week. How difficult was this for you as a broadcaster? Because you don't want to sound like a homer. You don't. You want to be, as you said, you want to be objective, but it's the Braves.
Yeah, it's impossible. Every year I get hammered by the other side's social media because – look, when you do a national broadcast game, if you're a Dodger fan, you should be 100% biased. If you're a Braves fan, you should be 100% biased. I cannot be biased. I cannot be any – I got to be right down the middle. And so people for the last 4 or 5 years always accuse the national broadcast team of somehow rooting for the other team based on the way the series goes. And that's just nonsense. I mean, there's just no way that your words carry power. So I understood that coming in. It's why I don't have any social media. It's why I don't pay attention to any of that. And I would expect a Braves fan to be 100% behind their team and used to Chip Carey, Jeff Francoeur, and Tom Glavine. But for some reason, to think that I would be up there openly, you know, speaking only about the Braves would be an injustice to my role and my job. So I understand it comes with the territory. It doesn't really bother me at all. My job is to bring the best knowledge I can to what's going on objectively and not have any, you know, it's not like I left the team 2 years ago. It's been about 11 years. And everyone, I don't have to say that I played for the Atlanta Braves. Everybody knows. Okay. We were joking, Joe Davis and I, we should have gone on the open of the broadcast and wore the other team's hats. Just Just, that was just as a gag, but I'm sure the bosses wouldn't have liked it.
Smoltzy, while we've got you, what can we expect in this World Series? I know Braves fans, we're all trying to figure out, you know, where our team's going, what we need to do in the offseason. We'll have time to chop it up with you about that. I want to get your thoughts. These are the two best teams. I mean, I hate that we got beat. Yeah. We had a chance to beat them, but over the course of the season, these have been the two best teams. What are we going to get?
Yeah, the format, that I really do like the format. I'm gonna selfishly say, had we in the 90s had this format, you bet your bottom dollar we'd have a few more rings because our depth would have won out. But I think this format, in the way the season was played and the way the rosters were constructed, yeah, the teams that showed the weaknesses in their starting rotation and the injuries, I mean, there's injuries all over the place, it definitely shows up. And now we're going to traditional 2 days on, day off, 3 days on, day off. This really is a classic case of, you know, homers, strikeouts, and walks. I mean, this is going to be either one of the most incredible chess matches, or this is going to look choppy at best at times when certain teams aren't able, or certain pitchers don't have their best stuff. This is what I've always said. It's so much nicer to ride a hot hand and let him go as far as he can go and then limit the usage of your pen to win a game.
Right.
That's not the formula anymore. Mm-hmm. And you run the risk, the longer a series goes, when the Rays are going to have, they're not going to let their starters pitch past two times through the lineup. And with the Dodgers, that's going to be difficult. They're going to have to win a shorter series, in my opinion.
Right.
But this really could come down to what I said earlier. The Dodgers don't strike out as much. The Rays strike out a lot. If the Rays hit those homers and lock down the leads, then, you know, their formula wins out. If the Dodgers stay patient and don't start throwing every pitcher they have at a game, then their formula will win. And I thought Game 7 was a dicey roll. I thought that you saw the evidence of a Dustin May getting the information at 1 o'clock that he starts.
Strange move, right?
He had only one inning. Right. He gave up a run. Gonsolin's a starter. He comes in relief. He gave up a run. Each inning could have been worse. And, you know, lucky again that the depth of the Dodgers wins out. Because Urias, for me, I kept saying he's the best pitcher against the Braves under those circumstances of a left-handed pitcher. And he went, what, 5 1/3 or whatever, 5 4 1/3 of shutout baseball in that other game. So, you know, it came down to execution, and his execution is going to be the key for this World Series. There's going to be more 100-mile-an-hour pitches in this World Series than ever before. That's how strong and how gifted some of these arms are. Now, whether or not they're located and whether or not they stay in the ballpark, we're going to find out.
We always appreciate you, man. I know you've been busy. Great job on the call. I'm so glad you laid that out because, you know, I tried to say that you guys try to be fair and balanced, pardon the pun there, but you try to be, and it's tough, but I don't think that people realize you do have a job to do when it comes to this, and, you know, that doesn't mean you're not a Brave forever. So appreciate the time as always, Smoltzy, man. Take care. We'll talk to you after this thing is over.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, John.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.